life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work. And for the next hour, we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife when Spirit Guide Gregory Hay communicates with us through Mick's incredible gift of deep trance channeling. As usual on the show, he will borrow Mick's body to bring us information that will expand your knowledge about life on Earth, the universe, and other dimensions. And we have more questions from our listeners today, and also no doubt Gregory will come through with something important to say at some point or other. He might just let us go into the questions. Who knows? Anyway, we always have fun. And if you would like to join us with a question, it's actually not a reading style question, but it's a general question. Then it's the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756, and they are toll-free numbers. The international number that I'm just about to read isn't toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. Welcome, everyone, to Spirit's Work Radio. As Sylvie said, we're live here every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 1 p.m. EST, on bbsradio.com. We're also live here at 6 p.m. GMT, for those in Europe. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, also at www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now for those in the UK and Europe, it's www.mcavey.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which does mean that I am a pure channel for the spirit world. This is enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back, they meaning the spirit team. And that's so that you don't have any interference from me, my brain, or anything to do with my present current knowledge in the physical life to infect the information coming through, as it can be so often the case with people doing this kind of work. Anyway, so I'm going to do that right now. So I'm going to say bye for now and have a great show or program or whatever you'd like to call it.
Yeah. A wonderful 60 minutes. Okay. Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of greater intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of eminent scientific minds of all description. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to steer us toward a more harmonious future. They're an educational group responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. They're also responding to a need from our planet, because it is essential that we change our attitude towards it, and they bring information that helps us to look at our world with a different perspective. So, like I say, on this show, we ask for suggestions for either a complete show topic, or you can just send in your question that you would like me to ask on your behalf. If you're not really into phoning up, then that is fine too, and you can send that to me at any time you like at enq@spirit-teaching.com. And once again, our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, when you can find out more about us. We do, like I said, this isn't a reading style show, it's general questions, but we do Akashic readings, one-to-one readings on the phone all week, Anywhere in the world, we accommodate the time zone. So the Akashic readings are quite unique, so you can find out more about that on our website also. And it will help you with your way forward, your pathway forward in many, many different ways. Much too much to go into here at this moment, but I look forward to any communication from you. And we do have listeners' questions, but I will see if Gregory's got anything to say when he comes through, first of all. And he's here now. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend. Hello, greetings, everyone. Wonderful to be here with you and to share the joy in this moment and this collection of understanding.
You're welcome. Would you like to start with anything, or would you like to go into questions?
Well, my dear friend, actually, there is something I would like to just speak of briefly.
Mm-hmm.
When human beings come to look at themselves as a race, we understand that we have seen many people who regard themselves perhaps in some way as a higher responsive being,
mm-hmm.
or that they regard themselves in some way as an acolyte, or a being, in fact, who follows such an illustrious pathway that they regard themselves as being of a higher vibration than others, or of a higher caste than others, or perhaps somehow to do with their genetics, or to do with their standing or viewpoint of the physical world, that they have come to understand that perhaps human beings are far in ascendance beyond other physical animals of the physical earth world. If you were a being who was viewing this, and not a human physical being, but if you were another being, let's say to begin with that you were a being from outside your present galaxy,
mm-hmm.
how you would view the human physical habitants of the earth world is, first of all, how we would like to present this. Because oftentimes human beings think of themselves as ascended, or as having reached a nirvana state, or some other state of equilibrium, enchantment, or somehow revered in their own energy. Perhaps they are living in states of bliss because of the love they feel within themselves. And yet may be that state of bliss is in a sense only from their own adjectives of mind, rather than necessarily their own creation of life, or what they do in order to change the course of history, or the courses of other people's minds. That's not to say manipulation, it's not to say power over other people's minds. I am talking here about matters of behavior, and how human beings feel themselves often unjustly, as though they are greater than all other beings. Most certainly greater than most beings of the physical side of life. Which then in turn, in course, gives them matters to take liberties in their own hands, and perhaps inflict pain, injury, and immense suffering disproportionate to their need. The reason why we are coming at this from this particular angle is that oftentimes human beings revere themselves as being somewhat, as I say, ascended, as being somewhat higher than all other beings, and yet their behavior does not illuminate that. It does not, from the perspective of those outside, those from a different world, appear to be as though, in actual fact, everything is not as rosy as it would appear. That not is all beautiful around the garden gate, but that in actual fact, human behavior leaves a great deal to be desired, least of all the behavior to one another, least of all the way that many beings, particularly, I have to say, in spiritual circles, in spiritual addicts, maybe this is to do with dogmatic principles. Maybe it is to do with the hierarchy or theology or theosism of their particular religious group of understanding. It may well be that group of understanding does not, in fact, embrace all beings, but only the chosen few of their group. Keeps them apart from themselves, and they apart from all other beings too. Yes, we've got hundreds of millions of them on our side of life. The detritus of human activity, the mind games that all beings play with one another and themselves. And there are so many millions and millions of beings here who feel, in fact, that they are still better and beyond the reach of all other beings, as though they are somehow chosen few, or chosen millions, in fact, in this point of case. And yet their behavior does not belie it. Oftentimes we have seen many peoples who struggle in the name of religious understanding or persecution and suffering for it. To be wanted to be absolved of their behavior once they reach to our side of life. And yet, here, it's not that we won't have one whit of it. It is not, in fact, that there is anyone sitting in judgment of anyone else. Not a bean. Not one cell of memory, of consciousness, will sit in judgment of someone else. So there you are then. You would see then perhaps that all human behavior is going to get off scot-free. You can all charge around like bulls in china shops, or you can all just simply abscond from your behavioral integrity. You can move away from your morality codes that you have deeply set yourselves to post within your lives. Does that mean then that you can just go and run amok upon the land of physical stuff? It does not. For every single being, if they create pain, suffering, anxiety, if they create mortality through their physical life of another without good cause or reason, if they inflict suffering when it is not due, if pain and aggressive behavior which shrivels the mind in absolute abject poverty, does this mean to say that all beings then who take the life of some other will actually in somehow disaffect their intention, will somehow overcome it simply by joining us on our side of life and then becoming absolved of all blame, like many on your side of life would have of it? There are many millions and millions of beings on your side of life who will happily, readily inflict pain on something else just because they can. Or because they have learnt no better? No, I think not. It's actually quite insightful that from our point of view, from our vantage point, we have even seen children learn the arts of not sacrifice, but learn the arts of aggravant behaviour upon all other beings that cannot say no stop. And that goes not just to animals, but other children too. So we have seen from this situation that just because human behavior dictates it doesn't mean to say it's right. And that in actual fact, in point of fact, once returning to our side of life, you miss nothing. And how that actually works is because of the fact that what you have created, even though you may then turn out to be a very loving being and go to church twice a week or three times a week or however many times it is. Maybe you absolve yourself by using the rosary. Maybe you absolve yourself in using many other edicts and inflictions that then appear to give you the garb necessary to right yourself and make it all prim and proper. But in actual fact, even the little wills of man have to be reckoned with. So that means to say, dear friends, not one of you will miss anything. Every single being, anyone in physical earth has ever slaughtered without the need expressly, purely and simply for food. So that means all cave dwellers of the past, of millions of years ago, are exempt from this because they did never create death and misery to others, inflicted upon others for the sake of it, of a sort of a wanderlust. And there are no other beings that are capable of doing it except human beings. And I understand that many have actually looked and observed at the behaviors of certain other kinds of primates, and perhaps illuminated that they too have aggressive behavior. Yes, but there are still indicators, there are still reasons as to why that aggressive behavior takes place. Not least of all because they at times will eat other primates or even primates from their own group, from their own family. Sometimes this is just purely and simply because of argument or because of genetic manipulation that's taking place, which means that they battle for the will to win and therefore genetically superior to keep the genetic code of their species intact. That is, in a sense, how the physical world has made the will of it. But when we are looking and observing at human beings who come to our side of life, when coming from a different vantage point, we cannot see how it is, as yet, that human beings have made the crossing journey from being completely hostile, warlike, and aggravating, entrenched in negativity beings, to the actual state of pure bliss and ascendancy in many respects. So we can see that there are beings who are trying. There are beings who are really changing their behavior and altering it. But it's a slow process and something that has to percolate right through the whole human race in order for their behavior to change. So when we say that there are possibilities for humanity as yet, yes, but there are still many leagues to cross, many arrows to be cast to the ground, not to be fired in haste, and most certainly there are many, many situations of the creation of love that can take place, whereas the states of indigenous beings and peoples and species of one place or another deserve much better from their human species cousins or members of family.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Gregory. I will stay on that subject, actually, at the moment, because that leads me into a question that I have from Yolanda Williamson.
Actually, hello, Yolanda. Hello.
I'm not sure where she's from, but I think it's from the States.
Yes.
She says, I admire you both very much and enjoy listening to your transmissions. Obviously, she means the three of us.
Well,
which is lovely.
So, yes.
It's very sweet of you to say
yes,
so.
Yes.
She says, I would like to ask, is it possible that someday animals are going to be respected, not tortured, and be given a decent life?
Yes. Well, is there ever going to dawn this day? That will depend very much upon, Yolanda, the people who are on your side of life now.
She actually mentions, you know, when were slaughterhouses, animal labs, dog fighting, bullfighting, and horrific ways of killing are going to stop.
Yes, absolutely. But what I'm saying is then, this is a matter of human behavior. For much of it, it is, let's take then the certain aspects of the fur trade. I'm not talking about native peoples, indigenous peoples of North America, who from time to time have sought many different kinds of animals for their fur. Because usually the whole situation surrounding that was that slaughter of them was usually mercifully quick. Doesn't mean to say that it made them all right. And it did mean to say that for many who did not carry out this in order to protect themselves or in order to keep themselves warm, but actually purely and simply as an art of fashion for someone else, then I would say that that was an abhorrent natured situation. Moreover, I understand that at this present time, there are people who actually skin animals alive without killing them, because that's just a waste of time. And that these animals are then left to suffer 10 or 15 minutes of the utmost agony and depravity whilst having had their skin and fur completely removed from them. This kind of behavior, in a sense, although one could say, well, how can I do something about that if it's in another country I can have no sway over? But you can, because you buy their goods. You can, because maybe you buy the goods that have actually ended up in being the product of such fur. For example, some furs of certain creatures are actually can be used on dolls, on artificial beings or animals made and created for children.
I see what you're saying.
Yes. And are sewn on as a part of that, you see?
Yes, do your research and see what these things are actually made of.
Yes, absolutely, or from what country, then you need to research. And I'm talking really here about the responsibility of those who are selling them. Then it should be that if that is a part of the practice, that they actually go into the ingredients of the piece of whatever it is, toy or child's toy or a fashion accessory or something like that, to understand exactly how it's been manufactured and obtained. Because that's something that you can do now. We couldn't do that when we were in physical life, and it wasn't actually a part of the fabric of society because it wasn't widely known. Not that much was actually thought about it, about how different effects of animals were actually created or obtained in the first place. But now what I'm saying is that if you had been a being from the other planet or from somewhere else looking and observing at the time when I was in physical life in 1723, you would find, in fact, that perhaps many would have been abhorrent about the behavior that many human beings illuminated in their life, but that in actual fact there were choices to take, but there were not the same choices as you have now. And what I'm saying is, so where the difference remains is that you now presently have an enormous media system, an ability to reflect opinion right across your planet and actually bring that, each and everyone's situations, right into your own living space. So it's not something that's at arm's length or whatever, or something that you have to really search for across your planet in order to find out. It's not like you've got to send or wait for a message on a carrier pigeon or something like that in order to understand what's happening in some other country. It's almost immediate. Therefore, it means that having had this kind of form of communication, which has never been better for human beings, you need, as a human being, to use it. You need to profit by it. You need to be able to extend the whole vehicle of communication and take into the effects of behavior created by other people upon other situations, other matters. There's no difference between doing that, skinning an animal alive or whatever, or perhaps running a company into some delicate, environmental, beautiful gem, only to the point at which you wish to completely annihilate and destroy it, and destroy the lives of all beings who live there, regardless of their caste, color, creed, or species. So that's a matter then of selfish greed we are talking about. These are one of the central behavior tenets that many human beings, unfortunately, have not driven up from the earliest dawns of time when human beings didn't know any better, because actually, at that time, human beings didn't used to cause that behavior or create that kind of behavior. If they wanted to eat an animal, they would catch it and kill it and eat it, and afterward would wear the skin, thank you very much, to keep them warm. They would use the fat from their bodies to burn as oil. They would use all manner of artifacts left from the skeleton, from every single part of that physical animal was made full use of. Nothing was ever wasted. So in that respect, you could say that for human beings, they have a great deal to learn from their own ancestry, from their own time within human physical life, of how that is going to be presented, perhaps. So it might be that for many beings, that when you are looking at human physical behavior, it leaves you with a bad taste in the mouth, particularly, of course, if you see that kind of behavior in your own lifetime, in your own surroundings. Perhaps part of the situation from this should be that laws, because of the fact that they are actually needed and should be strengthened in order to curb this kind of behavior in some way. For example, I understand that a person who illuminates illicit dogfighting or some such thing creates the suffering of other animals purely and simply for their own entertainment or enjoyment, or maybe because of some kind of genetic status that they wish to have attached to themselves. These are, in a sense, sad emblems of human behavior. Whereas before, if you look to other indigenous groups and species of human state throughout the human evolution, you would see that many beings would have actually, maybe even at my time of life in 1723, there were times when a great many people were sold into slavery, because that was a bit of a biggie at the time, not a cross to bear for some, or unless you were the slaves, of course, but actually some kind of significant window of opportunity was to obtain a few slaves as house guests in order to keep one in the manner to which they are accustomed. And in actual fact, this in part was due to many different tribes right throughout the planet illuminating this act, carrying it out, in fact, to one another, as they have done so for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years. So that's not a new thing. Slavery is not a new situation of human behavior, and thankfully, many human beings have given it up. But sadly, in some areas and some situations, even within the modern human physical life, we see and observe many women, for example, gifted into slavery. We see many women traded for parts of their sexual gratification of others. We also see the behaviors not just in terms of human behavior toward of animals. So you'll end, forgive me if I broaden this somewhat, but it actually does encompass also human behavior to one another, to their racialist views And these different kind of isms are actually also focused not just about race, but about matters of thought, matters of principle, matters of theology, I suppose. So you can see then that because various people or beings paint themselves into their own corner, it's only sometimes that violence ensues in order to bring it about or to bring awareness to it. It's a bit like, I suppose, if you have one kind of caste of people or section of society, maybe they're from a different genetic ancestry or something like that, and some of their behavior is quite bizarre. I cite in this situation really various kinds of enforced circumcision or something like that, which are in actual fact simply religious edicts rather than a matter of choice for the individual person, a bit like forcing someone through marriage that they actually don't want to face. These situations are all about human behavior which are aberrant, which are incomplete, and not just leave a bad taste in the mouth of the person who's a victim of it, but actually makes diminutive behavior of and the energy of the being that creates it, and means quite simply that because of their lesser vibration and index, which has in fact decreased because of their behavior, because of their situations of power over others, and I include animals as well as other human beings in this, that it means that simply what happens to them when they return to our side of life is that they have to, in fact, recover themselves. What happens to human beings when they inflict pain and injury and death upon another human being, or any of those, is that they have to ask for forgiveness of them once they've reached our side of life. And in actual fact, their vibration, their loving awareness, their ascendancy, if you like, as that is the known description of it, of human states for some peoples, that their ascendancy of this will not be breached, will not be passed, or move one jot, not one iota, until the victim of their circumstance has actually been not just apologized to, but that certain works have to be undertaken by the person who created that injustice, injury to that innocent, until they have felt vindicated by that action. Not the being who perpetrated it, but the being who was the victim. Once the victim themselves feels that the energy coming from the person who was their perpetrator actually has equaled out, not until they have decided and reached the conclusion that the balance of that perpetrator's energy is in actual fact that they truly are really asking for forgiveness, that they truly are sorry over their actions and activities of physical state, not until then will their energy be released from the intensive negativity they have created for themselves in their pathway. So therefore, it means to say that all of those beings who feel that the greatest piece of fun they can have is to go out on a Sunday and shoot pigeons or anything else that moves on your side of life, have another think about what your behavior is doing to yourself. And likewise, those who actually feel that they can manipulate their children or daughters or sons into their specific way, caste or theism that entraps them and does so by violent behavior or casting violent creations upon some other species or race, they will, in fact, pay the forfeit benefit of what they have created and will have to, over a period of, I'm not going to say time because it doesn't exist in the spirit world, but over a period of acknowledgement and understanding through this regenerative process in the spirit world, that those who have created ill upon another, however that has taken place, have to pay recompense for it.
Okay, well, yes, okay, so it seems that there is this a sickness of society, actually. You know, if you think of the, well, cockfighting goes back a long way, mind.
Oh, it does, but, mind,
you know,
yes.
Obviously the bullfighting, dogfighting, bear baiting, all yes. of that sort of thing.
And of course bear baiting still goes on, even Absolutely. In sunny California, mm-hmm. I understand,
yes.
as well as the steppes of Russia.
Yeah, so... So basically, something else that people can do about it is get involved in bringing it to the wider world's attention, like you said,
yes.
through the media, through the internet, etc., but also joining groups and societies that actually need, even if it's probably voluntary help,
yes.
in doing something and making it themselves a bigger voice.
Yes, yes.
That has to be something.
That's right. That is very true. Yes.
That will help. So I don't know, Yolanda, if that is something that might make you feel a little less helpless about this situation, because it's all very well about recompense and that sort of thing.
But it's not now. It's not changing the action now.
It's not now.
I understand that.
Absolutely.
So what I would suggest, Yolanda, is that in order to make the best fist of this, in a sense, is that you join with organizations such as PETA, such as various groups that not only look after animal welfare, but actually provide educational standpoints toward the understanding and awareness. Education is, in a sense, the key to this, but also it's to do with the awareness of products, to actually understand that you have a tool which is the most powerful you can ever have, not just as one individual, but one individual to arm others, perhaps maybe to make them aware over certain situations of criminal injustice, if you like, toward other species, not only other human beings.
Mm. Quite interesting. If you think about the school curriculums, it wouldn't probably be something that is taught in schools.
But it can be.
It absolutely can be. So there you go, yes. Yolanda, or anybody, you know, this can be something that can be made into something rather more official, shall we
absolutely
say.
Absolutely.
Actually bringing it into
yes.
schools, into...
Yes.
the nursery, whatever it is.
Yes, absolutely so.
And actually, if it's organised well and it seems professional, I've obviously, I guess, one of the reasons why probably this isn't bigger and readily available already is because of the possible, I don't know, maybe religious and... other sort of connotations to do with it, maybe from parents who think that they own the right to do that and teach their
yes.
children and take them with them, etc.
Yes, of course.
You know.
Yeah. That's right.
There's so many sort of things. There's so many areas, isn't there? Political correctness, etc., that you can't go near. So, but works out well. I think this could be something that could be excellent. Absolutely excellent. To become involved with. She
yes.
does have another part of that question.
Yes, please do.
But I'd just like to stay just for a second on this, because you say that about recompense given and activated by the perpetrator in the spirit world. Is this something that we should be doing now, do you think, rather than, you know, the jail, prisons, the death penalty?
Well, yes, absolutely, because it never did anything, did it? I'm saying that, for example, most people who actually, perhaps let's say that you're talking about human beings who have inflicted woundful behavior on some other species or something like that, very rarely go to prison.
That's right.
It just doesn't happen,
no.
as far as we can see. And that is the same, even if there are, for example, I will leave this example because it is pertinent to it, the Gray family of Kent,
mm-hmm.
who saw through the lives of many, many horses,
mm-hmm.
purely and simply of the type and form professing innocence, because they were actually leaving the horses unfed and without water, leaving them standing on the carcasses of those who had died from malnourishment and lack of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that they just left them all to rot, basically, in the fields. And I understand that quite a few of them had to be destroyed just to save them from further agonies when they were found. Such situations are absolutely abhorrent. And to think that these poor creatures were then, after a great deal of finance by the public had been spent and vetted upon these poor creatures, defenseless creatures, that they were then subsequently returned to the Grey family for them to abuse once again.
Because of loopholes in the law that they were actually the owners of them.
Yes, so this kind of behaviour is, in actual fact, a complete anathema to society. If you are professing that you want to have a society that illuminates a certain kind of fairness and a certain form of responsibility toward animal husbandry, then it is a situation that you have to bring into correctness. That's not political correctness gone mad, but something of common sense, that you understand what is going to be corrective behavior toward beings who simply don't want to go that way.
BBS Radio.
Okay, well, sorry about that, folks. We just dropped the line there for a little while. I'm not sure where we went off, but...
Well, as I was saying, yes. So it's really, it's exactly the same as if you were looking at other forms or matters of behaviour to do with anything, whether it's child poverty, whether it is the way that adults treat their children or other children, whether it's to do with the selling of children into other families or other situations. That's exactly what was done, in fact, right through the Victorian period, if you're looking at history. So we can see that in some respects, if I'm not talking about a society of in a sense, the wishful thinking, but the coherence has to be there in the foreground. It has to be that if you want to create benefit, if you want to truly ascend the society and make it something that's responsive particularly to the environment, to the well-being of all the inhabitants within it, and that includes, in a sense, all animals that you interact with, that has to be the choice that you make. Then you have to move forward with that as a form of instinctive education.
It's all about education, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yes.
And the thing is, you see, like Yolanda, most people feel just so frustrated and helpless about it. But the thing is, get your positive self into action here.
You can.
Actually, you can do something about it. You truly can.
Absolutely.
It might seem very small steps to you, but I was in particular watching about the fact that the bullfighting in Spain the other day, there was a matador
was gored.
He was gored, yes.
Yes.
And there was tears, you know, the family were crying, and it was just like, and I couldn't believe it.
Actually, it's rightly so.
I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe, well, what do you expect, you know? And it's bizarre. And the bull is stood there with all these swords in it. And it's just, but you see, that's so scary because it's like this huge, huge auditorium, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, and everybody, it's just,
such
it's
a spectacle.
Exactly. And then they shot the bull and then dragged it round and everybody got up on their feet and cheered, you know, yeah, we got him in the end. Like it was some sort of big, terrifying dinosaur or something. It's bizarre.
But that, in a sense, is the situation of barbarism that is inherent within that community. And in a sense, that kind of barbarism reflects then very deeply within every single being that's a part of that community. And that kind of act, in a sense, remains glorified and a symbol of how how can I say, how violent this particular race can be.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
In a sense,
there are very
that's
many
not a very good indictment, is it?
No, there are very many other things, aren't there, that they do, and they are large spectacles, festivals, and that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely
animals
so.
Animals and the torture of animals.
Yes, absolutely so.
Whereas we're talking normally, we started off talking about little enclaves of things as well.
Yes, you know, true.
Behind the scenes. Situations.
Yes, and
doors.
Yes, and matters of rites of passage too. We have to include those too, because just because it is something that people did hundreds of years ago or whatever, or even thousands of years ago in some cases, doesn't make it all right now. Because that means to say that as human beings, you have not moved any further forward. You're not celebrating the past. You're simply not endearing yourself to that kind of form of print from past behavior. What you have to do as a conscious understanding, a conscious living understanding, is understand that that part of the past of the behavior should not actually be celebrated. Maybe it could be celebrated in a different way then, instead of having the ending of the bull's life or the ending of the whatever it is life, that you actually celebrate it in some other way, maybe in such a way as they would do in India. So they would bedeck it with flowers and parade it as a beautiful specimen and species of that group of beings, that instead of saying, look how well we slaughtered it or brought it to its knees in total agony before we actually took its life, therefore declaring one's power over the beast, that rather you embrace the beast and say, look how beautiful this fine creature is, how loving and how beautiful. And then you would have a completely different representation of what that race was meaning and what its whole formulation of empathy is being created by.
Yes, because you wonder about the other things. Well, I do know that a lot of people that won't go to Spain because of the way that they treat animals, for instance. I mean,
yes, quite so. And it doesn't just stop at bulls, believe me. Actually encompassing many other kinds of animals as well, particularly donkeys and ass.
Yes, yes. And other countries as well.
Yes.
And we're not sort of like...
We're not singling out Spain here. No. There are many other countries too.
And we've all got something. But
yes. England has dogs.
Yes, and that. But the frightening thing is, like I say, it's the children that grow up thinking that that's okay around that atmosphere.
Yes.
But and also, you see, we encourage it by going to see these spectacles when we go to these countries, or we turn a blind eye or whatever and don't take any notice to these situations. Or,
yes.
You know, I know people that
that's
have gone
right.
to bullfights because, well, I was in Spain, wasn't I? I don't agree with it. I didn't look. I closed my eyes, whatever. But, you know, they still paid the money and condoned it, you know, really.
Yes, added
they?
To it.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, there are things that you can do. I remember
that's all human beings can do.
I remember going on holiday to Portugal with friends and they said, now then, you're not allowed to get upset or angry about the way they treat their animals or whatever, because you will see things. Yes, I almost came back with a horse, I remember.
Yes, yes. And most probably, my dear friend, if you had gone to Turkey and found some of the places where they extract the bile from horses in certain ways, then you would have most certainly done that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's something missing somewhere, isn't there?
Like a wheel or a cog or a whole part of the brain that appears to be completely differently wired to other beings.
So how can an extraterrestrial look at this planet and say, this
it's
is...
a loving, beautiful planet, isn't it?
Or, they're probably scratching their heads thinking, what the? I just don't know. I can't make it out. What makes these people tick? Because they're all so different.
Yes. Yes, but not just different for a different sake, but in a sense it's, and you would wonder then why you would think that beings from another planet would not be hostile toward you, because you at the drop of a hat appear to be completely hostile to anything that moves.
Yes, and if we land land on another planet, then we are aliens.
Yes, don't forget that, Ben.
Absolutely. And if we've got a reputation, then, you know, no good crying if you get a slap wrist.
Yes.
Or worse. Anyway, we've only got five or so minutes left. I'd just move on to Yolanda's, the other part.
Yes, let's do that.
It's not really...
It's Yolanda's week.
It is, isn't it? She's lucky. She's had a whole show. Well, we're very lucky.
Yes, absolutely so.
To have Yolanda with us each week.
Yes.
She says, I lost my two dogs and I feel that life has no meaning anymore without them. They are pure love. I feel that my dogs watch over me and I think they are still around me.
Of course they are. Absolutely. Every time, Yolanda, you think of your pets, your beloved beings, they are with you. Don't forget that the love that you had given them in your care and nurturing, in your patience, and every waking moment that you shared with them, as well as the times when you maybe even thought that they were not aware of you, but they always were. In a sense, it's because of the love that transcended from your physical being to them that attracts them back into your life. In a sense, it's like in a way of them giving back to you. And at times, dear friend, you will have experiences when they visit with you at night, or when they visit with you at certain times, you will see them and you'll kick yourself or think that you're stupid or that you'll think that you are just seeing things when you see one of your babies in fur that actually appear to be real. And they will have a certain kind of luminescence about their fur where their energy, their purity energy, will come through and appear to be as a sort of a gleaming, at times it will be as though the energy is slightly yellow and at other times golden and at other times have a kind of a green inflection to it. That is the ability of spirit to manifest. And these are situations where you will find that perhaps at times at night you'll be sleeping and you'll feel the pressure upon your bed. And it will be just like they're with you. Well, they are with you. So at those times, my dear friend, in conference with so many other human beings or other beings who have befriended certain other kinds of energies of physical animals, that during that compassionate stage that you have had and created your relationship, it creates the energy of love, not just through your emotional state, but through your well-being, through the loving energy that you give to them because you want the best for them. Because you love their company, you respect their company and their energy and their presence. And that will never actually leave you. The memories, in a sense, will become waned, but at other times they will grow just as strong and be just as though it was only yesterday. So don't ever feel, dear friend, Yolanda, that your animals are not with you. Whenever you think of them, you're sending love to them. And it is upon the energy of love vibration that they are attracted to you. And it's not just that they will be there present when you're thinking of them. For they will come of their own state, of their own volition, in a sense, in order to say thank you. Mm. As they do, I'm sure.
That's nice, yes. Well, she says that she's sure that they are still around her. So,
yes, yes.
So that's nice. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that, Yolanda.
Yes.
And we do appreciate that.
But try not to go into the misbegotten step of being negative about your time with them and then, in a sense, unleashing pity upon you. Because what that does do, Yolanda, is that it negates, it sends your loving energy into a spiral, because you then become remorseful about matters of the past, about the energy of
So basically, the positive loving energy actually turns into a negative eddy, really.
Yes, and that then decreases your energy and your attraction. So therefore, it's like you become forlorn over your loss.
Yes.
And then they can't get through.
Yes, and also about the other situations, the other animals, you know.
Yes,
if,
yes,
even if
absolutely
it's just a small
so.
Thing, be proactive, do something, and it will actually make you feel a little bit better that you are doing, able to do something about
yes,
this situation.
Absolutely so.
Well, thank you very much, Gregory. Once again, it's been a delight.
With love and light, blessings, dear friend, little bird. Blessings, dear friend, Mr. Don Newsome, and all of the other little Newsomes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. And our website is www.spirit-teaching.com if you'd like to pay us a visit. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.